the Cincinnati edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We do continue to record parts of this show remotely after a member of our Cincinnati Public Radio family tested positive for COVID. A national nonprofit is working to provide free bail assistance to low-income people. The Bail Project recently launched a new site in Cincinnati and began posting bail here in September. I spoke about it earlier with some of the individuals involved. And joining us now from the Bail Project in Cincinnati is Operations Manager in Cincinnati, Shamika Parrish-Wright. Shamika, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
It's our pleasure to have you. Also from the Bail Project in Cincinnati is Bail Disruptor, Jeremy Page. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We also have one of the clients for the Bail Project, Brian Reitzman. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by Claire Chevrier, a lawyer with the ACLU of Ohio. Claire, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
Well, let's start with you, Shamika. Tell us about the Bail Project and what the new effort is here in Cincinnati. I understand the presence here is relatively new.
Yes, it's actually something we've been wanting for a long time because the people of Cincinnati reached out when they found out that I was working with the Louisville, the Bail Project in Louisville. We started in Louisville, Kentucky in May of 2018, and actually the Louisville site was the third site. We've now grown to just over 23 sites across the nation. We are a nonprofit revolving bail fund. We simply want to level the playing field to give an opportunity to have a fair process in it while people are fighting their cases. And I know from a personal experiences, it is much better to fight your case from the outside than the inside. So we want to end pretrial incarceration across our nation. We want to work ourselves out of a job. And I am excited about the Cincinnati site. This is where I became just as involved at just 18 years old. And it's also a place where we know people are struggling and incarcerated simply because they cannot afford to pay a bail. So we pay bails from $25 up to $5,000 to try to help people get out low-level offenses. And we're working really, really hard.
So the Bail Project, it offers as financial assistance to people who need to be out of jail in order to better fight their charges, is what you're saying.
Yes. There's so many baked-in injustices in our criminal justice system, and where you can have two people, one black and one white, charged with the exact same offense, and the black person gets the higher bail, or the poorer person is kept in jail. One of the first bills we paid was just for $154. That's how much it's been a financial strain on the community and on the people. And this is a way for us to attack poverty and mass incarceration from the front end by getting people out pretrial.
Shamika, you said that you had firsthand experience in understanding how important it is to fight a charge outside of jail rather than being behind bars while the case is ongoing. Does that suggest that you once faced charges?
Yes, I did. And fighting myself out of a domestic relationship, it was self-defense. But because I picked up a weapon, I was given a felonious assault charge at just 18 years old. I had a 3-year-old child on my way to college. He was the son of a sheriff, and he was given a domestic violence charge. And I was held for 38 days on a $1,000 bail. It was 10% of $10,000 that I couldn't afford, my family couldn't afford, and I sat there until I took a plea deal. And those are the kind of decisions that people make every day. Since then, I've gone on to do amazing and great things, but if you run my fingerprints, that's what's come up. And that daughter that was 3 is now 28 years old, and still now that charge sits on my record.
That's Shamika Parrish-Wright, the operations manager in Cincinnati for the Bail Project. We have 3 other guests with us. I'm going to get to all of you momentarily. First, I want to go to Jeremy Page. He's also working in the Cincinnati operations for the Bail Project. He is listed as a bail disruptor. Jeremy, what is a bail disruptor?
So a bail disruptor, I'm here to help disrupt the system that we have set up here, not only in Cincinnati, but just in this country. The system of oppression, the system of holding individuals pretrial under the presumption of innocence, until proven guilty when it should be innocent until proven otherwise? And also, if we're going with that presumption, then why are we holding people? especially on cash bail. So we want to disrupt those levels, those systems of poverty as well, and anything that prevents or is a barrier to everyone being on the same playing field.
Well, we are going to get to one of the clients that's been helped by the Bail Project, who's also on the line with us, Brian Reitzman, in just a moment. I want to first turn to Claire Chevrier, policy counsel at the ACLU of Ohio. Claire, we heard even Shamika, who is the operations manager for the Bail Project in Cincinnati, talk about the impact that not being able to afford bail has had on her life. How serious, how common is this situation in our state?
Absolutely. So on any given day in Ohio, as many as 12,000 individuals are held in jail pre-trial, which means exactly what Jeremy and Shamika were describing. They're legally innocent individuals who are held pre-trial, usually simply because they can't afford to post their cash bail. And we know that this creates incredibly detrimental and harmful circumstances for those individuals. People who are held pre-trial are put at risk of losing their jobs, their homes, and even custody of their children. And as Shamika discussed, it's also a lot harder to build your case from behind bars. Think about it. You know, many people who are held for low-level offenses have the choice between staying in jail in order to fight their case or taking a plea deal and maybe going home today to tuck in their child. So most people, if they don't have the resources to post their cash bail, take the obvious choice of going home today and maybe pleading guilty for a crime they did not commit. But also, even for those individuals who are choosing to fight their case from behind bars, have tons of barriers stacked up against them. For example, if somebody asks, if you were arrested for something that you didn't do, and somebody asked you, what did you do on February 7th at 3 p.m., you probably wouldn't be able to answer if you didn't have access to your phone, your calendar, your Facebook. And the individuals who are arrested, those things are taken away from them, and they might not be able to build up to say with any level of confidence what exactly they were doing at that time, because that day was not a special day because they didn't commit this crime. People have harder access to family members, to contacting witnesses, to contacting alibi witnesses. If somebody is held in jail pre-trial, it makes it more likely that they will end up getting convicted. They're more likely to be sentenced to jail and prison. And those jail and prison sentences are 2 to 3 times longer compared with individuals who are charged with the same exact crime, but who were released pre-trial.
And we're also talking, of course, Claire, about the cost that taxpayers have to endure to keep people incarcerated. I mean, there's got to be some costs incurred there.
Absolutely. So the ACLU of Ohio just spent the last 2 years working on a large-scale fiscal impact analysis project to determine just what cost savings could be realized if Ohio were to adopt common sense bail reform. And the numbers are in, and they are staggering. So the expert economist who we worked with, who analyzed court and jail data from across Ohio over the last 2 years, estimates that $199 to $264 million would be saved in Ohio each year if Ohio were to adopt common sense bail reform. We need to stop the release of individuals pretrial from hinging on whether or not they have deep pockets, and instead refocus the question to, does this person actually pose a threat to a specific person? Is this person actually a threat of fleeing? And the answer to these cases is absolutely not. They could more safely be at home. It would be better for them, their families, their communities, but also Ohio taxpayers.
That's Claire Chevrier, policy counsel at the ACLU of Ohio. We're also joined by Shamika Parrish-Wright and Jeremy Page of the Bail Project in Cincinnati, and also Brian Reitzman. He's a client of the Bail Project. Brian, I understand you benefited from some assistance. You were arrested just a couple of months ago when police had asked you to identify yourself after an argument broke out at your apartment, and bail was posted earlier in October for you. And you were provided with transportation assistance, and then you were connected with the transitional housing program. Can you help us understand what your circumstances were?
Basically, I had some outstanding warrants from 2016, where my circumstances at the time, I was pretty much addicted to heroin and living a totally different life. And to the last, when I got out, I didn't even bother wasting probation's time, and I didn't even stop by probation or anything. And but shortly after that, I decided to check into a rehab and clean up. And so I've been living a different life. So, but I've had those warrants hanging over my head the whole time. And I was just glad to be able to get it over with. So,
what were your concerns about not being able to make bail on your own?
Well, like Shamika said, you can defend yourself a lot better from when you're out here in the free world. So I was able to get documents showing that I had, in fact, been in an outpatient rehab the past 4 years, which is what the judge would have wanted from me anyway. So from within the jail system, I could have said that, but I wouldn't have been able to prove it. But out here, I was able to get a letter written for me and so on and so forth.
Brian, based on the experiences that you've had with addiction and being in an outpatient treatment program, have you met people in your life who have faced similar circumstances where they've been adversely impacted by the cost of getting out of jail in order to defend themselves against the charges they face?
Yeah, yes, all of them. Because when you're living that life, you're going to have brushes with the legal system. And at the same time, you're not going to have the couple hundred dollars it's going to take to post your bail. So, yes, everyone that's lived that type of life experience anyway.
Brian, do you feel like you're moving your life in the right direction now?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I haven't had an overdose in 4 years, so yes.
Well, we're glad to hear that, and I'm so grateful that you would take some time to talk about something so difficult with us. We do appreciate that. That is Brian Reitzman. He was a client of the Bail Project. We're joined by Shamika Parrish Wright and Jeremy Page, who are both working on the Bail Project in Cincinnati. Also, Claire Chevrier, Policy Counsel at the ACLU of Ohio. Let me turn back to Shamika Parrish Wright, the Operations Manager for the Bail Project in Cincinnati. How common is a story like Brian's, Shamika, where it's someone who's struggling with addiction and they're being held pretrial without being able to get out?
All too often it happens, and we see it every day. A large percent of our clients are struggling with the very same issues as Mr. Reitzman. And bail was set up to be an incentive to return to court. It was never set up to be punitive. And now it's used in a very punitive way. And people aren't getting the treatment and the things they need. Like Mr. Reitzman said, nobody is going to take and go through all those hoops to get that letter he needed. But he was able to get out and go get what he was needed to turn that into a judge. And I know that is very, turn that in so that they can see what he has been doing. And I know that to be true because I moved all the way to Miami. And when I applied for a job, they ran my fingerprints and they wanted a letter from my probation officer, a letter from my former judge, which was Thomas Crust, who I've learned has since passed on. They wanted all of this information that I couldn't just pay a lawyer or a courier to go get. I would have had to go get it myself. And that's what we see people are dealing with. I will say the judges in Cincinnati are doing a great job at doing a lot of 10% bails. We don't see a lot of those in a site like Louisville, Kentucky. But even at 10%, even at 10% of 1,000 or 10% of 500, that is too much for someone to pay at times because we are struggling with poverty. Poverty is a big enemy. And so even if they 10% of $500 bail, that's still money that if they would have to wait or not pay their rent or not feed their children. And so we are here to put a stop to that, to make people realize that these folks have no skin in the game. We don't have dog the bounty hunter to come and get them if they miss. We rely on faith, on them coming back and dealing with the needs that they let us know so that they can come back and successfully complete their case and have better outcomes.
Claire Chevrier, Policy Counsel at ACLU of Ohio. We've only got a little bit of time left, and I'm curious, what type of public officials do you need to get on board with bail reform so that fewer people face these circumstances?
absolutely happen at a local level, but we're currently also pushing for statewide solutions. So Hamilton County is actually in a great position. We know that the new elected sheriff, McGuffey, has committed to decrease the jail population in light of COVID. And she stated at a forum prior to the election that Hamilton County does not need a bigger jail. We clearly need to be jailing fewer people. The sheriff, different sheriff's offices from across the state could increase cite and release so that instead of bringing people to jail unnecessarily in the first place, people could get a slip like often occurs during a standard traffic stop where they just get a date to report to court and then they could forego the entire jail process completely. But that would be, you know, county by county or even city and municipality specific. What we need is statewide bail reform. And so we are looking at the legislature to enact common sense bail reform. And thanks to our fiscal impact analysis, which it took 2 years to build, it's also clear that doing that would not only save lives, save individuals' livelihoods, but it would also save all taxpayers an incredible amount of money in Ohio, especially during a year when we know there will be economic shortfalls thanks to the pandemic.
Claire Chevrier is policy counsel at the ACLU of Ohio. I also want to thank Shamika Parrish Wright and Jeremy Page, who are working in Cincinnati for the Bail Project, and Brian Reitzman, a client of the Bail Project. Thanks to all of you for taking some time to chat with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.